Could we have a mic runner? Thank you. Please raise your hand. You were here yesterday for most of what we discussed, the first seminar. Please raise your hand if you heard it online or electronically somehow or other. Okay. So maybe half and half. I'd like to hear some reflections from the devotees that were here yesterday. Anything they remember, anything that they appreciated, or a comment that they had, a realization later on about what we discussed yesterday, and that'll help us get started the refresh for those that weren't here at all, and then we'll get into where we left off. Would anyone like to share?
I was quite moved by how you brought out this understanding that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they really, as you said, engineered, or was the architect for, and I guess I think the engineer for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, for how people all around the world could actually enter into Krishna consciousness. Because before that, as you said, there wasn't really such a precedent for that. It was very much, you know, brahminical lines, family ties, Jati Goswamis, this type of a thing. And so when you were explaining yesterday, it really kind of hit me that this is, it's their great glory and also their deep understanding of the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he wanted this and that they actually created a way that somebody can go from walking past the temple on the street to serving on the altar.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, in before their time, that was more or less impossible. You come, yes, you worship Bhagavan, but you can't do that off the street under the altar.
Thank you, Ujjwalaprabhu. Beautiful point. So one of the things we discussed, who's ever been to one of the classic temples in India like Tirupati or Puri or Sri Rangam? Yeah. So has anybody ever been asked to wash a pot in Sri Rangam? I joked yesterday, I can't even look at a pot in Puri. What to speak of wash it. So this is one of the many miracles that our eminent acharyas have performed, is that they've created a process by which someone like me, who was born very far away from Sridhar Mayapur, as Srila Prabhupada said once in Gainesville in 1971, he was sitting in Gainesville. And Americans, we like to think that we're the center of the world, if you haven't noticed. In fact, Ujjwalaprabhu and I, we used to serve in New York City with the Harinam Ashram. Who's ever seen those devotees every day, 6 hours, Harinam, lots of book distribution, very inspiring. Who knew that Ujjwalaprabhu was one of the dedicated members there for 3 years? Only one person. So now you know some of the glories of Prabhu. He was, so he was one of, he was basically the manager there for a little while. And, so we would every day get on the subway, and whether it was nice out or not, some days we'd be chanting in the subway, some days we'd be up in the park. And on the subway they have these little poems that they post to try to keep people from committing suicide while they're actually in the train. Keep some sense of humanity about them while they're being moved like cattle in a car every day of their life for 2, 3, 4, 5 decades. So one of these poems was there on the wall. And I remember the first line of it is very telling, very striking. It said, the city, speaking of New York City, because when it's, this is New Yorkers, Bhav, as Maharaj was speaking about earlier also, they just say the city. They don't even bother telling you which city it is because the city means New York City. So the city moves around 8 million centers of the universe. I hear some delayed laughter. it's sinking in. The city moves around 8 million centers of the universe. Pretty accurate if you've ever met a New Yorker. Even the three-year-olds, they walk around the subway like they're totally independent. Like they don't have parents, like they're on their way to their office. What to speak of the rest of the adults. So this is the mood of independence that you see in the Western world. And Srila Prabhupada created a system that was forged, designed, tested by the eminent acharyas, that allows someone like me from that kind of background, so far away from Sridhar Mayapur was I coming, born in America, where I think I'm the center of the universe, but actually in that mood of being the center of the universe, I'm so far away from the truth, from the actual center of everything, Krishna and his devotees. A process was offered to me by which I could come off of the street of Chicago, or in my case, Detroit, off of the streets of Detroit and onto the altar of Radhakunja Bihari, or Kishore Kishori, or Radha Govinda in New York. And prior to, in Vaishnavism, you were born into the culture, or maybe you had some tangential connection to it. You lived in the neighborhood of Vaishnavs. There was really no social, spiritual mobility, though. There was no idea that you could develop a place in that community. You were either fortunate enough by your past deeds to already have one, or you could just kind of admire from afar. And particularly Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he created this idea that we should decentralize the process of bhakti. We're all familiar with decentralized approaches now, because who's taken an Uber or a Lyft? Janet, you've never been in an Uber? Okay. Who's stayed in an Airbnb? I won't even go to a hotel anymore. They're criminal how much they charge you compared to Airbnb. You have a whole house for the same price. Kitchen, bathroom, living room, backyard, for the same price as a hotel. Airbnb, Uber, what did they do? They said, we don't need an industry to create the service. We don't need to be a hotel to offer what a hotel offers. We don't need to be a taxi cab to offer what a taxi cab offers. And in that way, they literally turned a whole industry on its head. Anybody with a spare room in their house, now they're a hotel. Anybody with an empty seat in their car, now they're a taxi. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur revolutionized the culture of Krishna consciousness as Mahaprabhu had wanted it, but it had gone far away for reasons we won't spend too much time discussing today for time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought back this accessibility of Krishna consciousness and said, if you have a house, you have a temple. If you have some neighbors or some family members, you have a congregation. All that's needed to transform a common house, a common family, a common community of co-workers or neighbors into members of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission, all that's needed to do that magical thing is to implement four structures. And what did we say those four structures were yesterday? The holy name, or kirtan, chanting of prasadam, Srimad Bhagavatam, and sangha, associating with people that appreciate and want to connect to those three things, holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna prasadam, then you have a sangha. So we've all traveled the world now to some degree while being members of Prabhupada's family, and we've seen wherever you go. Who's been to tell me another country you've been to a Krishna conscious program? Hong Kong. What did they do in Hong Kong?
Mexico.
Oh, Mexico. What did they do in Mexico? Same thing they did in Hong Kong, right? Same thing we do here in Chicago. Same thing we do in Detroit. It's a miracle. It's magic, actually. There's no managers coming by and checking in and, you know, quality research and TPS reports. It just happens, because that's what works. That's what gives that experience, that satisfaction that isn't available to the soul anywhere else. So thank you, Ujjwala Prabhu, for reminding us of this dynamic. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he created Bhakti BNB, way before Airbnb, way before Uber. He created this decentralized way to access the most wonderful product, Krishna consciousness. Just like Lord Nityananda wanted the Nam Hut, right? The marketplace of the holy name. To be able, anyone can come in and purchase, they just need faith. Shradavan Janhe. Many of you know that bhajan. Nadia Godrumi Nityananda Mahajan. Padiyache Nam Hat Jivara Karan. The mercy is coming to the jivas because of this accessibility of the holy name, all it takes is faith. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur created that marketplace. Other reflections? Yes, Mata in the back.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for bringing that connection of the structure and different purposes. That really was in the back of my mind whole of yesterday. It was really nice. For one thing I was appreciating, earlier it was like, okay, they're all acharyas in the disciplic succession and that's how the mercy is flowing. But seeing the uniqueness of their contribution, for though the mission is the same, but they have a unique way of serving the mission. So
yes.
That really brought deeper appreciation to each of those personalities, which was really nice. Thank you for that. And the other appreciation, as you were mentioning about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disruptive
yes.
industry, I was connecting this to Srila Prabhupada's comment on you all have to be independently thoughtful. Though the mission is the same, it doesn't mean that same thing works for different place, time, circumstance. So we have such an example, I mean, much farther back. So that was really nice.
Beautiful.
Appreciate.
Thank you for sharing. That's a great segue. So I'm going to save some of what you said. But Mata's referencing maybe the most famous letter that Srila Prabhupada ever wrote, which he happened to write around now. It was in December of 1972. To a brilliant devotee named Karandar Prabhu. And he was so brilliant that he was getting himself in trouble. Because Karandar Prabhu wanted to centralize everything. He wanted to make a standard and everybody follow that standard. And Srila Prabhupada wrote famously in this letter, I've told you time and time again that I don't want centralization of anything. It is up to the leaders to create a fresh challenge that inspires devotees to be independent, spontaneous, and voluntary in their service. His Grace Vaishya Shekhar Prabhu, he sometimes jokes that the external meaning of ISV, his yatra there in California, is ISKCON Silicon Valley. But the internal meaning is independent, spontaneous, voluntary service. This is the standard that Srila Prabhupada wanted. Not something stereotyped. I have to because Karandar Prabhu made this guideline. Because my temple president says. Because this is what my mom does. Not that I have to because, but I want to because. I have some relationship with Krishna. I have some relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I have some relationship with the acharyas. And because of that connection, I'm inspired to do something a certain way. I'm not going to be paid for it by any monetary gain. I'm not going to get time off. I'm not going to get insurance benefits. I'm a volunteer in that I may get nothing, but just the activity itself is going to satisfy me. This is the culture that Srila Prabhupada wanted created in all of his centers, and it's up to the leaders to set the tone of that atmosphere. And that's why I especially like coming here to Chicago, because I see a lot of devotees inspired to do something extra in their Krishna consciousness. It's Christmas break. It's, you know, the boss is letting you go for a few days and you don't have to go to school, no more homework. So there's a lot of people doing a lot of other things with their time right now. And here you all have come to hear and chant. It's very admirable. And I'm inspired to be a part of it in some small way. So I hope we can do a little more today to enliven each other. Thank you, Ma. I'll pick up on your other comments later because that's mostly the topic we're going to be getting into. Let's take two more reflections or appreciations, comments from yesterday. Okay,
Hare
here
Krishna
and then here.
Prabhu.
Yes.
So I was on my way coming here and listening online and I'm like, oh my God, this is what I miss. I keep hearing you saying that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is a lion guru and I'm like, oh my God, it is so true. You don't hear everyone referring. And what really hit me is you were saying, imagine someone, you were speaking about Srila Prabhupada coming to a different part of the world and just reading about it in books and achieving what he did. And I'm like, so many times we forget about Srila Prabhupada. We just think about Radha and Krishna, or we think about our guru. And it just hits you at once, although you know. So thank you very much for your way of lecturing, and Srila Prabhupada would have been very happy.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the encouragement. I think Mata had her hand here, and then we'll...
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Actually, the yesterday's class was so wonderful that I was thinking how the acharyas are giving us the mercy in a way that that is accessible to even the lowest form of people. So what went through after the hearing the class is that my appreciation for connecting with the parampara through the holy name and the instructions that they're giving, and how to reciprocate with their love for the conditioned souls. Today Maharaj is also mentioning about compassion for the conditioned souls.
Yes.
So that's driving them to give the mercy. So I want to reciprocate something that's very, very touching to me. Like, I want to give back something, receive and give back something. That's what I want to take it from what you're giving and Maharaj is giving from the retreat.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. My own dad, he has a little hard time when he sees Srila Prabhupada, because he sees Prabhupada getting worshipped and all these people, you know, opening the door for him and a nice car and flower petals and garlands, and he's always sitting on a big comfortable seat. Always looks like he has everything taken care of for him. So in my dad's mind, oh, that's not impressive, that's easy. Right? What's so hard about being worshipped? Sometimes he thinks like that. Sometimes he's appreciative, but sometimes he thinks like that. Srila Prabhupada was in Australia, and he was sitting on a stage, but his disciples were there and some reporters were with him. And the reporter asked Prabhupada, "Hey, why aren't you sitting on that big seat?" Because the disciples had set up a Vyasasan for Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Because if I did, you would be envious of me." Our discussion over these few days, we're centering around Srila Prabhupada being known as the person that built the house the whole world could live in. And we're using that metaphor, that idea of the house the whole world could live in, as a way to develop our relationship with Srila Prabhupada through recognizing the contribution of the other acharyas in the construction of that house, in the design of that house, the building of that house. And one of the amazing things about Srila Prabhupada is how he had so many incredible physical houses to stay in, and yet he wasn't willing to spend more than 2 weeks in any one of them. In Detroit, who's been to the Fisher Mansion in Detroit? For some of you that don't know the history, the very first president of Cadillac is the most famous brand of luxury vehicles that America has ever produced. The founder of Cadillac Motors, he built the Fisher Mansion as his party house. Each room, Srila Prabhupada said, is worth the price that the devotees paid for the whole building. How many days did Srila Prabhupada spend in that house? Total. One devotee says zero. That is wrong. On the lowest end. How many days total? Close. About 2 weeks. We'll say 10 days. That's a good round number. I think it was like 13 days total. Who's been to the manor in the UK? Who gave Srila Prabhupada the manor? George Harrison. It was his private estate, his getaway from the hustle and bustle of London and all of the traveling in the cities that he goes to all over the world. It was his private retreat, right? Literally a palace of sorts. The kind of place you'd want to spend your whole life. How many days did Prabhupada stay there? That's true. Yes. When it was initially obtained, Prabhupada spent about a month and a half there. And then in a few more visits, he spent a few more weeks. Ask yourself though, how many days would you spend at the manor if that was your house? How many days would you spend at the Fisher Mansion if that was your house? The manor, he spent about 2 months for one stay. But when he already had the manor, he already had the Fisher Mansion, he already had the cathedral in Toronto, he already had Mayapur, he already had Vrindavan. Still, having all those and castles in Germany and Paris, having all of these magnificent properties, any one of which any one of us would just be happy to settle in, Srila Prabhupada never stopped traveling and in fact spent almost 2 months with Gaura Govinda Maharaj in a straw hut in Bhubaneswar in 1976. Because of what Mata was speaking to, the compassion was the concrete of this house that the whole world can live in. You need a lot of concrete, for those of you that have seen the TOVP, right? To build an enormous structure that can house many people, you need a lot of concrete. But the concrete of the house that the whole world can live in is not of a physical type. It's of a spiritual type. And it's compassion. What Maharaj has helped us see in the mood of the Acharyas through the discussion of their prayers, Vasudev Dat, Prahlad, Srila Prabhupada today. So this house that the whole world can live in is not a physical structure. It's a spiritual community. And the metaphor that we're extrapolating on and that we're going to get back into now, that we're using to see the contributions of the other acharyas also, that Srila Prabhupada was considering himself a follower of, is that the house the whole world could live in also needed an architect, an engineer, a consultant, and some laborers to be built. And Srila Prabhupada was the divine contractor. So I'm going to write those things up on the board again, and we'll get back into our fleshing out of where we are in the metaphor. I skipped one also. Before you can have the architect, that's right, you need a customer. Because the architect isn't going to spontaneously build something. And we said that the customer was Jagannath Das Babaji. Now, he was a Babaji, so he had no money. So how can he be a good customer? He's not going to be able to pay, who knows, or ever had to deal with architect fees. Just to talk to one of those guys costs like $300. If you sit down in one of their chairs, you have to pay them $300. What to speak of if you actually get them to do some work. Jagannath Das Babaji, we're thinking of as the customer because he represents Mahaprabhu. When we say Jagannath Das Babaji's pranam mantra, we describe him as Vaishnav Sarva Bhom. What does that indicate? Sarva Bhom. Yeah, greatest of all devotees, Sarva, all the Bhom, all the world, this is the topmost Vaishnav. And what qualifies a Vaishnav as being topmost is their intimacy of relationship with Krishna. So Jagannath Das Babaji was closest to Mahaprabhu at the time that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore, Bhaktisiddhanta, and then soon after Srila Prabhupada came. Jagannath Das Babaji was considered the foremost Vaishnav. And we have proof of this by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own example. We said Bhaktivinoda Thakur is our architect. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur had found the yoga pit, right, there was some controversy about where Mahaprabhu's appearance place was. Because as we all have seen in India, if you have some kind of tirtha, then you have a good source of income also. A good revenue stream to have some holy place. Or at least to get people to think that you have some holy place. Because then you can put a hundi there, and the pilgrims will come, and they'll put something in the hundi, and you don't have to do much else. So there were some people who were saying, Mahaprabhu's appearance place is over here, and some other devotees were saying, no, Mahaprabhu's place is over here. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur did so much research, and he realized it was on the other side of the Ganges, from where the Ganges had moved, and now the place where Mahaprabhu actually appeared was on the other side, not where it had kind of been established. And so to substantiate this, after all his hard research, he requested Jagannath Das Babaji. He requested the customer to come and to see, is the customer satisfied? If the customer was satisfied, everyone else would accept. All the argument, all the bickering, they would have to cease it because the customer is happy. That's who we're supposed to be serving. So Jagannath Das Babaji came to that place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this is the yoga pit. And what was his reaction as a customer? He's a slumped over guy. He can't even, literally he can't even open his eyes. His eyes have like collapsed on them. His eyelids have collapsed over his eye. He's that old. And yet he leaps out of the basket that his servant Bihari is carrying him in. He starts jumping up and down, saying, Jai Sachi Nandana, Gaur Hari Bol. So that's the satisfied customer. So the architect, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we discussed yesterday, what was the unique contribution in terms of the design of the house that Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood from the shiksha that he received from Jagannath Das Babaji, the shiksha he received from the customer, the instruction, the desire, the wish. Something unique about the relationship of Mahaprabhu and Krishna, Mayapur and Vrindavan. What was that? That's right. By serving the mission of Mahaprabhu, we will reestablish our position in Vrindavan. If there's any doubt about this, then we can look at Krishnadas Kaviraj's opening prayer to chapter 4 of the Adi Lila. Chapter 4 is famously, does anyone remember the title of Adi Lila, chapter 4? That's Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4. Very good. It's my personal favorite chapter, so thank you for bringing it up. Chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila. The internal reason for Mahaprabhu's appearance. Chapter 3 is the external reason. But chapter 4 describes the inner mood of why Krishna came as Mahaprabhu. And there Kaviraj opens by saying, Sri Chaitanya Prasadena, the mercy of Mahaprabhu, Tad Rupasya Vinirnayam, takes form, takes this Rupasya. Balopi Kurute Shastram, as confirmed in the Shastra, Dristra Vraja Vilasinai, is confirmed in the Shastra that the real form of Mahaprabhu's mercy is that you understand Vraj Vilas, the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. That means you've really connected to Mahaprabhu. That means you've gotten his prasadena. The form of that prasad is really the recognition of Vraj Vilas, the pastimes of Vrindavan. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur reestablished. This is the design of the house. This is the purpose of that house. This is what all of the residents of that house should be centered around experiencing and understanding, is that by serving the mission of Mahaprabhu and receiving his mercy, we will reestablish and experience our position in Vrindavan. And as we discussed also yesterday, many apasampradayas had other ideas about how that looks and what to do, and Mahaprabhu came for some other reason, and understanding Krishna's pastimes means putting on a sari and pretending that you're a gopi, or carrying a flute and pretending you're Krishna. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur shattered that concept. And then, as the engineer, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what did he do to contribute to this building of the house that the whole world could live? Loud and proud. He created 64 Gaudiya Mutts. He made a prototype. Same thing? He carried, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur designed the Namhat, and then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta carried it forward, yes. Yeah, he commissioned the contractor also, didn't he? Yeah, we're going to get to that in just a second. That's right. The engineer, some of you, who's an engineer here? Yeah. So the engineers are tasked with the tough part, right? The design guys, they come up with something cool, something the customer thinks is very exciting. But then the engineer gets given this impossible task. We were using the example of the TOVP itself yesterday. A building that holds 10,000 people situated in the rolling sands of Navadvip. Right? So the engineers, brilliantly for the TOVP, have come up with a foundation which literally floats. It's a concrete structure, but it's floating. So that it can adjust with the shifting sands without totally collapsing, becoming unstable. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he fleshed out the design of the architect, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and implemented a prototype, as was discussed yesterday. This is often what engineers will do. Before the final product is created, a prototype will be made. And I think it was Yamuna Prabhu, he shared that in, not Rupanuga, but... Yes, thank you. Ravindrasarup Prabhu, who's without a doubt the foremost scholar in our ISKCON community on the history of our Gaudiya line. In Rupanuga Prabhu, or Ravindrasarup Prabhu's study, he characterized the Gaudiya Mutt as a prototype ISKCON, recognizing that Srila Prabhupada, who we're going to put in here now as the contractor... Srila Prabhupada took the prototype of the Gaudiya Mutt and exported that all over the world. We were speaking about Puri Temple or Tirupati Temple or Sri Rangam, these classic places of Vaishnav culture. If we go there, we don't see Bhagavatam class happening. We don't see Mangal Arati that everybody can come sing and the prayers are posted and there's songbooks for them to read with translations. There's no Nectar of Devotion class in the evening. So Srila Prabhupada took the idea of his temples being centers of education from the example of the Gaudiya Mutt given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes, there are deities, yes, there's puja, yes, there's the traditional elements, but all those are opportunities for people to become educated in the benediction of serving Krishna. And as soon as possible, once that has been firmly established in the heart, they should be eager to share that opportunity with others, to help educate people who don't yet know about that opportunity. Not that we just sit comfortably and enjoy that connection that we've been given and let others be born into it or happen by it somehow or other. But very actively we should be spreading and sharing. So he engineered structures like the Grihastha Ashram, the Sannyas Ashram, even the process of initiation. Who here has Harinam Diksha? First initiation. Who here is aware that prior to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, practically there was no such thing as Harinam Diksha? He engineered that structure, recognizing that that layer of commitment before Diksha, before getting brahminically initiated, second Dvija, as it said, before that level of commitment, but after it's been settled in the heart of the sadhaka that this is what I want, I'm serious about this. This is my life, I want to commit myself wholly and solely to this, but I'm not quite ready to be all the way where I one day hope to be, he created this Harinam Diksha as a way for that relationship with the spiritual master to be established with the disciple without the level of commitment and social expectation that comes with being brahminically initiated. So the levels of innovation and ingenuity that our engineer, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, expressed and carried out, literally there's 3 volumes on it, so we won't be able to do justice today. Who's seen Srila Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav? 3 big yellow books. So please read those, because they also give an excellent, a lot of the synthesis that I'm offering is from that, because Maharaj, recognizing that you can't discuss Srila Bhakti Siddhanta without discussing Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, and of course Srila Prabhupada, he included them in that writing also. So then the engineer comes up with the prototype. Now we have to find a capable person to execute. Who's going to actually implement this prototype around the world? And who was that person? Our Srila Prabhupada. He said, please, and for, as Maharaj said this morning, from the very first meeting, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had some mystical vision, some recognition of who Srila Prabhupada was, who this young man paying his obeisances reluctantly in front of him was. Because Prabhupada, as we know, he came into the situation doubting what was going to be happening. Oh yeah, sadhus, okay. I've seen enough of so-called sadhus. India needs its independence first, then we can talk about spiritual things. So Prabhupada appeared to have some kind of apprehension. But really it was just a setup for him to be able to have his heart conquered very quickly by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And from that moment, Prabhupada describes that he knew this was his spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada is the contractor. What does the contractor do on a work site as big as the one we're describing, where the whole world is being a house, is being built a house that it can live in? What's the service of the contractor? Execution. Yeah. Implementing what the architect and the engineer have laid out. And is it the contractor himself that's executing everything? Yeah. Yeah. The contract goes and finds the labor. What kind of labor goes into building a house? Okay, a lot. Let's get specific. Carpenter, electrician, plumber, very important, painter, mason, landscape. Oh, we have designer. Oh, you mean interior designer. Okay, yeah, yeah, interior design. Unskilled labor, yeah. So when we talk about the house the whole world could live in, Mahaprabhu Sankirtan mission, what are the different departments? What are the skilled labor required? We need pujaris. Somebody to chant Hare Krishna. Lead us in Harinam. Chefs, we need cooks, right? The army runs on its stomach. Yeah. We need somebody that knows what they're talking about. So we need people that have read the scriptures and have a firm scriptural background. We need people that are ready to go out and canvas and ask others to come and participate. Hey, this is a house you can come live in. You're homeless? Please come here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, book distribution. Publishing, yeah, right. Printing the books, editing the books. Typography, running the press. Accountants, very good. Yeah, absolutely. Fundraising team, very important. Lawyers, there's the GBC. All of these are departments that Srila Prabhupada created, then educated people how to run, then monitored and managed. Srila Prabhupada is an unprecedented contractor. He famously says in one place, I'm simply having to rack my brain to keep you all engaged. Oh, okay. Srila Prabhupada is some subcontractors have to leave us now and go continue their service. So thank you for joining us. We appreciate all your contribution. Hare Krishna. The zoning department has come. They want to see the plans. So, okay, great. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is our contractor. And the subcontractors. So now we're going to enter into our own consideration. Oh, and we had one more personality. That's right. Consultant. Now why, we touched on this yesterday, but why does a project even need a consultant? Yeah, third party opinion, an outside perspective. Right? Who's ever been involved in a project and you made some big mistake only because you were so absorbed in that project, right? And so sure that you're so good that there's no way you could possibly make a mistake. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I made this mistake. So the house the whole world could live in, there's a lot of room for error. So the consultant is that third party removed from the organizational element. And who is removed from the organizational element within our parampara line? Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. Where did Gaura Kishore Das Babaji like to chant his japa? In the temple room next to Tulsi? In the toilet? Or at the burning ghat? One man came to Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, please Maharaj, give me your mercy. I'm getting married soon. Gaura Kishore, I bless you to end up a mendicant like I am. No! Please Maharaj, take it back. Why is he away? Yeah, because he's not really a part of the system in the sense of, and this is a great question, I'm glad you asked this. When we think about the consultant, let's look at Gaura Kishore's relationship with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. There were three instructions that Gaura Kishore gave Srila Bhaktisiddhanta close before he departed the world. Does anybody know those three instructions? Uh-huh.
Don't go to Calcutta.
Yeah. One instruction. Never go to Calcutta. Now we just observed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance day. Where did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta leave this planet? Calcutta. So now we have a problem. Because it appears like one of our acharyas is showing that you don't have to give regard to the instruction of your spiritual master. Because not only was he in Calcutta, but he built a temple in Calcutta. Several. And he departed the world from Bagh Bazar, which was his feature place in Calcutta, brand new, marble, prominent. So how do we reconcile this, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is apparently disobeying the instruction of his spiritual master? Yeah, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I didn't go to Calcutta. I brought Mayapur to Calcutta. So in that way, he apparently was in Calcutta, but really he was bringing Mayapur there. And this is how he understood the instructions of the consultant. Because the consultant is not a part of the program, formally, professionally, institutionally. The consultant is outside, so he just gives his verdict and leaves it aside. This is my opinion. But then it's up to the professionals within the system to apply it with intelligence. Because he's a consultant, so there's no way he can know everything that's going on. Now, again, this is a metaphor, so it collapses in some places materially when we're talking about spiritual personalities. But Gaura Kishore had one disciple. It was Bhaktisiddhanta. And that was only after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had approached him 19 times. That's right. And threatened, I'm just going to kill myself then if you don't initiate me. Srila Gaurakishore had no interest in creating any kind of system or culture around himself. He simply wanted to hear and chant. And so this is the service of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, is to remind us, what is the purpose of this house that we're all living in? What are some of the purposes of the house that we're all living in that aren't really the purpose? Let's start there. Okay, yeah. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. ISKCON is a place to solve my chapati problems. Who has ever made that mistake themselves or seen that mistake being made by someone else? That ISKCON is a place where I can eat, sleep, mate, or defend. Very nice. Yeah. What are some other issues that come in? Some uses for the house. Okay, that's the ideal, yeah. That's what Gaurakishore, the consultant, is reminding us. You actually don't need this house. All you need is the holy name. Gaurakishore took his prasad out of a skull. The top side of a skull, he would just soak some rice in some Ganga water. He wouldn't even cook it. Then he would eat that soaked rice. Now, if we serve that at today's Sunday feast. No, soaked in Ganga Mai. Nice basmati rice, organic. Grown in Mayapur, soaked in Ganga Jal. Who's gonna take? Who's gonna come? That won't last very long. That program won't work. Because you actually need to appeal to people's sensual side. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the living entity, speaking of the conditioned soul, cannot live without sense gratification. Cannot live without sense gratification. So you have to provide some comfort of the house. But the real purpose of a house is not just to stay in the house. The house is a place to be safe and sound, and from that space do something else, live something wonderfully. And so Gaurakishore reminded us, what is that, the real purpose of this house, the real purpose of this structure, the real purpose of all this work that all these other devotees have done for us, and not just these devotees, but Vasudev Dat and Srila Narottam Das Thakur and all of our eminent acharyas. Why have they done all of this? So that we can hear and chant. And he reminds us of this by staying totally aloof himself from any such comforts, from any opportunity for sense gratification via the mission of Mahaprabhu. He's totally blissed out, just hearing and chanting. How are we doing? Pretty clear? Any questions or comments so far? Mukunda. Don't go to Calcutta. Don't associate with worldly men. No, don't take disciples. Yeah. All three he did. Right? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had many more disciples than Prabhupada. He had something like 10,000 disciples. Because his Harinam Diksha standard was lower actually than Srila Prabhupada's in terms of rounds and things like that. So, apparently, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was violating his spiritual master's instructions. But again, he took the essence. And if you hear Srila Bhaktisiddhanta speak about his disciples, he said, I don't have disciples. My Guru Maharaj has sent all of these men. They are representatives of my Guru. In fact, they are my Guru, but as a service to him, I treat them as though they are my disciples. So again, taking the essence. Thank you for reminding me. Yes. Yeah. So
there's a lot of things that aren't going on that this house is not meant for.
Yeah.
I think it's important to clarify that for all of ourselves. Mm. That's a nice point to highlight how Gaurakishore Das Babaji was a crucial consultant role.
Yes. He really played that third party presence, totally aloof from any material consideration, and showing the real thing and what it's all about. And what these devotees were doing it all for, lest we might forget. Like I was mentioning my father, who is the kind of person that sometimes sees what's going on here as mundane, not recognizing the transcendental situation. So Gaurakishore is that stalwart reminding everyone of what it's really all about.
How come
of how did Gaur Kishoredas Babaji come to Krishna consciousness? How did he join? Well, my understanding is that there's not a lot known about his early life. I do know, though, that once his wife passed away, that's when he became a Babaji. That's when he became the severe renunciate that we know him as, Shakshad Vairagya, the personification of renunciation, Shakshad Vairagya Murtaye. So once his wife passed away, and she passed away when they were young, they didn't have children yet, but he was living a kind of normal life. She passed away and that was it. He said, no more material engagement. He was born in the Navadvip area, and so he grew up around something of Mahaprabhu's culture. I do know a book where I could get these answers for you, but I don't have them on me right now. So this is a good answer, or this is a good question, something to investigate. Yes? Mm. Yes.
And my takeaway from this exchange is that especially the point where doing Krishna conscious activities for the group, but really the consciousness is completely tinged.
Mm. Jai. Thank you for sharing that. Any other comments or realizations anyone would like to share right now? Yeah, Ujjwal Prabhu. Yes. Eventually. Yes. Beautiful. Yeah, engineers. Who had to go to a lot of school to become an engineer? Yeah, you have to go to more school than most people want to go to become an engineer. And that school is harder than most schools that other people go to. I went to North Carolina State University. It's a great engineering school. But I went for political science because I didn't want to go through the engineering department. Too much work. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, to Ujjwal Prabhu's example, before he stepped out and created the Gaudiya Math, what did he do for 11 years? He took a vow of chanting a billion names. Essentially, every day he chanted something above 150 rounds a day for around 11 years. Living literally in just a little swamp area next to Ganga in Navadvip. That's pretty intense university, right? Master's degree. True master. So that's the Nitya Siddha Srila Bhakti Siddhanta taking his sadhana so seriously. The gravity of being a part of building this house that the whole world is going to live in. Knowing, because his mother told him on her deathbed, your father's only wish is that you get Mahaprabhu's movement to the West. This is all your father cares about. Knowing that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta took 11 years to sit next to Gangamai and chant in the dust of Navadvip, because it's that kind of potency and power that it's actually going to take to manifest this. And he had that confidence in the contractor, Srila Prabhupada, sitting in Champahati. A few devotees had come back from the West. And they'd essentially failed. They hadn't been able to establish any kind of Krishna consciousness. They rubbed elbows with some British people and hung out with some royalty, but they didn't really entrench themselves in the culture and get anybody to take up Mahaprabhu's way of doing things. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they were holding this reception to receive these disciples, but it was kind of a letdown, and that was clear. It was clear Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't exactly happy with the situation. And so he was making an address to the crowd, and this is in the book that Mother Mula Prakriti Maharaj was referencing earlier. Who's read that book? Srila Prabhupada, friend to all. Next to Lilamrita, this is the essential reading to get close to Srila Prabhupada. Because Mother Mula Prakriti, she went back, the service that she did, maybe you've seen some of her Prabhupada memories. She has this really ecstatic, you don't forget once you've seen her speak about Prabhupada. She has this ecstatic face. And her eyes are welling with tears the whole time she's speaking. You can feel it. She's like holding something back with every word, and yet also letting something out for us to taste and feel. And what she did was went and interviewed all of the devotees of Srila Prabhupada's life prior to being founder Acharya of ISKCON. Back when he was just a pharmacist at CVS, for all intents and purposes. Srila Prabhupada was just your neighborhood pharmacy guy at CVS who was enthusiastic about his temple. Abai Bapu, they called him. Mother Mula Prakriti went back and she interviewed all of these devotees who used to organize programs for Srila Prabhupada, or Srila Prabhupada would organize programs for them, or they lived in the ashram with him for a little while, or they stayed at his house while they were traveling and preaching and he was a grihasta. So many devotees who had these sweet little interactions with Prabhupada. And so in that particular book, she also speaks about, I forget where I was going with that. I just started thinking about her. About Prabhupada at Champahati, right. So she recalls this situation at Champahati. Everyone's a little disappointed, but they're going through the ritual of celebrating these devotees returning, big pandal program. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is addressing the crowd, and he looks out and in silence locks eyes with someone. And one devotee in the crowd, who Mother Mula Prakriti would later interview, he followed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's eyes and saw that he was looking at Abai Bapu. He was looking at Srila Prabhupada there at Champahati. Champahati is where Jayadev Goswami was prior to going to Puri. And after a few moments' pause of having eyes locked with that disciple, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta uttered the famous words, "But I mark my words, somebody in this assembly, sometime in the future, however long it may take, will leave India and bring back the whole world." And that was, of course, our Srila Prabhupada. So the contract was already written up and it was signed and notarized that day. Srila Prabhupada would be the contractor. How are we doing on time? Okay. We've fleshed out a helpful analogy. I've heard many of your appreciations, and I'm inspired that you're inspired. This also inspires me. I shared yesterday that the reason, or kind of the impetus and inspiration for this analogy, was to help devotees like ourselves recognize our relationship with the, we say previous acharyas, but that's a little bit of a misnomer, isn't it? Previous acharyas puts them in the past. It gives us this idea that, okay, they were then, but I'm now, and I can read the Wikipedia page about them. I can learn some bullet points, but the real thing is happening today and they're not here anymore. So I'm not such a fan of the word previous acharyas, although I understand why we use it in some contexts, but it can lead us down a difficult path also. So I like the word eminent acharyas. The eminent acharyas, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore, and Jagannath Das Babaji, how we can have a relationship with them, and by a relationship with them, have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada that's deeper, more profound than just the kind of superficial Jai Prabhupada culture that is easy to get into but not very satisfying in the long run. So we talked yesterday about the three instructions that Krishna gives for approaching a sadhu. These three essentials for receiving the mercy of the spiritual master. What are the three essential practices? You have to approach him first. What's the second one? You have to inquire. And then you can do what? We can render some service, right? So if we don't approach them, then we can't inquire. And if we don't inquire, if we don't find out what is the mood and heart of this person, how can we really do some service? Our service then is just speculation. Well, I like this, so they'll like this. So how can we bring ourselves to a place where we can really approach and inquire from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from Gaura Kishore, and from Jagannath Das Babaji? That's what I would like for us to spend the third session discussing. For right now, we're going to spend the last few minutes before noon, and we might get out a little bit early because I don't want to segment the discussion or get into it before and then have to stop it. I'd like for us to just get a little bit of a sense of where we already are in the movement personally, where we're feeling ourselves. So who remembers playing the spectrum game yesterday? I know you're excited to play the spectrum game again, Neha. So we're going to play the spectrum game again. That's where we'll have all the devotees stand in the center of the temple room. Now some faces are like, oh yeah, oh no. We'll have the devotees stand in the center of the temple room, and I'll pose some questions. And I would like the devotees to move on the spectrum then, based on your answer to the question. And the two sides of the spectrum today are going to be very simple. Yes. Well, yes, I could or I couldn't. Yes. So today is just going to be a very simple yes or no. But of course, as we discussed yesterday, my Guru Maharaj, once he went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Srila Prabhupada replied, you're not the most anything. So nobody is all the way over here at yes. Nobody's sitting up on Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan. And nobody's on Sri Kishore Kishore's altar. Right? They're holding the highest positions. We're on the spectrum somewhere of yes to no. So center yourselves. I'll pull the board away. And just for organizational purposes, I'll stand. Yeah, get close. I know we don't always do that in our ISKCON communities. So the questions that we're going to ask are related to our own relationship to service. So the first question, I am satisfied in my service. Yes? No. Yes? No. I am satisfied in my service. No, no, just, I'm not going to elaborate. You have to sit with the uncomfortableness of the question. I'm satisfied in my service. Question two. It's clear to me who I'm doing service for. Question three. It's clear to me what my service is developing. Yes, no. Some people are on their toes. Last question. It's clear to me what my service will be 10 years from now. Okay. That's the last of the personal questions, so you can take a sigh of relief now. few more. It's clear to me what Mahaprabhu's movement needs to grow. And last one, I have confidence that devotees are doing what they need to do to help that growth happen. Generic statement. Generic statement. It's clear to me that devotees are doing what we need to do to help that movement, to help that growth happen. More tiptoes. Okay, so please now, everybody, sit with the feelings that you had in this exercise. Actually, let's just hear some 2-3 word responses. How did this little exercise make you feel?
Challenged.
Challenged. Hmm. Jai. It's also encouraging, right? What's going on? There's something missing. Yeah. More other reflections.
Thoughtful.
Yeah. Who here is it your first time thinking about your devotional service 10 years from now? Honestly. Thank you for being honest. A few more comments, reflections, feelings brought up in this exercise.
This made us think more than what we are already doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try. Chewing on it a little more, yeah. Widening things. Great. Okay, so please remember the feeling that you have right now. Remember things that came up in the different questions. Comfortable, uncomfortable, unsure. Keep that in your heart and mind for our last session together in the afternoon. Can I ask you that? Don't eat it away during prasadam time. Don't sleep it away when you take a nap. Keep it close in the mind and heart for in the next few hours, because we'll need that freshness when we're working together the last part. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Kishore Kishoreji ki jai. Shri Gauriya Guru Parampara ki jai.